Our text for this morning is the epistle reading from Philippians, chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is our text. Dear Christian friends, are you ready for Christmas yet? Whether the answer is yes or no, and whatever it means for you to be ready for Christmas, that question by itself can create some stress. Christmas time can lead to both anxiety and excitement, which have more in common than that they are both spelled with an X. A study by Thomas Holmes and Robert Ray rated different kinds of stress, both positive and negative. They studied both adults and children. At the top of the list of stress was the death of a spouse, 100 points, and the death of a parent for children, 100 points. A little down the list, divorce, 73 points. Divorce of parents, 90 points. Marital separation, 65 points. Separation of parents, 69 points. On the other side, getting married, 50 points. The marriage of a parent for a child, 63 points. Getting fired, 47 points. A parent losing a job, 46 points. On the other hand, getting a new job, 36 points, still stressful. The pregnancy and birth of a child, 79 points. The birth of a brother or sister, 50 points. On the other hand, a child leaving home, 29 points. A sibling leaving home, 37 points. These stressors add up. Their study showed that once a person goes over 300 points of stress within a short period of time, they tend to fall apart or get sick. Christmas can involve several kinds of stress. Celebrating a major holiday, 15 points. Financial difficulties, 40 points. Paul, when he wrote this text, was under stress. He was in prison. I don't know how many points that is. The Philippians he wrote to were also under stress, threat of persecution. Yet, instead of being burdened by anxiety, which also stresses our relationships with other people, we can rejoice and we can have peace, which comes from thanksgiving for what comes through our relationship with God. As we look at our text, we see that we can rejoice thanks to what God has done. We see that anxiety can be reflected in relationships with others, but we see that a peaceful relationship with God guards us within. Let's think first about how we can rejoice thanks to what God has done. Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. The Lord is at hand. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Rejoice means more than just to be happy about what is happening right now. It's not just about how things look, but how we look at things, being positive in outlook, which is why Paul can write to the Romans, "Rejoice even in suffering," that is, have a positive attitude about them. The word for rejoice was a common greeting in Paul's day, like salutations, which is Latin for be well. Rejoice was something you said when you saw someone. Paul says the reason to rejoice is because we see someone, the Lord is near. He is near in both time and space. We can rejoice not just because Christmas is coming, the celebration of His first coming to us, but because Jesus is coming again, soon, to take us to be with Him in heaven. We can rejoice because He is near now. He is coming to us right now in His body and blood. to give us his blessing in Holy Communion. He is near when we pray, which means that he hears us and he answers us, so that when we make our request, we can already be thanking him, Paul says. Thanksgiving is key to our rejoicing. Thanksgiving is remembering good things, which helps us expect good things again. The verses right after our text go on to say, think about what is true and honorable and just and pure and lovely and commendable and excellent and worthy of praise. We rejoice when we remember to thank God for these things, and so we expect more of them from God. Rejoicing always comes from God. It is only because of God's love and faithfulness that we can have continued expectation of what is good. Any investor or economist is going to tell you, past results are no indication of future expectations. That's true, except when it comes for God. And when this is true, we can have peace. Not just absence of conflict around us, but peace in our hearts, even in the midst of difficulties. Anxiety, on the other hand, remembers and expects and focuses on negative things, and anxiety can be reflected in our relationships. So Paul writes, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. Lacking peace results in anxiety, uncertainty, sometimes even despair. When we are under stress, we easily become wound up and short with others and unreasonable. There were two women, Dee and Cynthia. They were Christians. They had saving faith in Jesus. They had worked together in the church, but they had a falling out. Who knows what it was about? Maybe they don't even remember. Now it is to the point that they disagree, maybe just because the other one is for it. Others can see this. It makes them uncomfortable, and so the stress spreads. Paul addresses the words of this text to them and to their friends. He writes in the verses just before this text, I entreat Euodia, and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, true companion, help these women. When we are anxious about things, expecting the worst, we get touchy. And it doesn't take much to set us off. But Paul suggests when we can rejoice in the Lord, we can show reasonableness to everyone. The word for reasonableness here has also been translated gentleness or forbearance. It's compassion. It's understanding. We can be understanding of other people's point of view. We can be calm and reasonable, and we're able to put up with things that are not ideal without making them into a big deal. More importantly, we can put up with people and their problems. It's not easy to have peaceful relationships in unpleasant situations. What is it that makes this possible? It's a peaceful relationship with God that guards us within. Paul writes, the peace of God which passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. As I studied this text, I noticed something interesting about that word for guard. I had always pictured this as talking about how our hearts and minds being guarded by threats of fear and temptation and discouragement that come at us from outside, from the devil and from the world. But I discovered that this word for guard is not the kind of guard that stands outside the door to guard what comes in. It's the word for the kind of guard that stands inside the door, controlling what goes out. We've learned in our country that we need to guard against attack, not just from enemies outside and those who try to sneak in, but also from those who are within, those who are part of us, domestic terrorists, radicalized citizens. This can happen, as a reaction to hurt, fear, disappointment, resulting in anger that's turned outside towards others, the same can happen to us. Our hearts need guarding, not just from outside threats, but from dangers from within. Jealousy, coveting, resentment, that results in things coming out of our hearts and minds and mouths aimed like weapons at others. What brings peace to this kind of situation? It's the peace of God, which allows us to take all of these volatile things in our hearts and surrender them to God in prayer with thanksgiving, trusting that He is sure to take care of them. This term, the peace of God, is not found anywhere else in the Bible. Is it the peace that God has within Himself, the perfect harmony of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Or is it the peace that comes from God? Or is it the peace between us and God? All of the above. And all of this peace is a result of Jesus' death for us on the cross, which He and the Father and the Holy Spirit all condescendingly will as the way to restore God's broken children whom He loves. Jesus' suffering for us is what pays the penalty for our sin that must be satisfied in the perfect justice of God. It removes the cause of the war which pits us in rebellion against God and His kingdom. It takes away our fear and our desperate defense that strikes out against everything within reach. It is a peace that passes understanding because it is not based on conditions which we can verify or apparent changes in our environment, but on faith in the promises of God. That's what stands guard and brings peace to what happens inside our hearts and minds, which in turn affects our relationships with others. As we move toward the celebration of Christmas, the Sundays of Advent this year lead us along the steps commonly followed in Christian prayer: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Our text mentions supplication, but our focus today is on thanksgiving for what God has already done. We can rejoice thanks to what God has done. Rejoicing is a way of looking at things, even difficult things, with a positive outlook because we look to see that the Lord is near. And we look with thanksgiving at what He does for us. Anxiety can be reflected in relationships, however. Anxiety is the reaction to stress which looks back at what is negative and so looks forward to the same, which also affects how we look at other people and the attitude we display toward them and God. But a peaceful relationship with God guards us within. God has made peace with us rebellious sinners by the death of Jesus in our place. Instead of attacking us, He's attacked our sin and taken away the threat of death by His grace. Now, the grace of God is a peacekeeper in our hearts and minds because we are joyfully confident in Jesus to take care of us both now and forever. May God grant that this is true for each of us. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in true faith to life everlasting. Amen. We respond to God's word as we rise to confess our common Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed, as found on page 158. I believe in God, the Father Almighty.